Thank you, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Thank you, Regina and Anne, for your teachings. They were inspiring, helpful, helpful to me to frankly figure out what I'm going to talk about today. But both of them brought up plenty of No, you just hear our laugh. Cheryl wants to know if she hears Connie. No, we just sound the same. What I want to do is start with a song. This is seems like every morning when I wake up, there's a different song in my head, and for me, they've always been messages from Holy Spirit, and so I'm just going to play the one that I woke up with this morning.
Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly on your life. You're gonna be waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black night. Singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird, fly. Sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. You're only waiting for this moment to be free.
Okay, that was arrive it has, Carrie says. Yeah, that was a live version. That was nice. Although I didn't think the crowd added anything when they started clapping. So I'll oh good, glad it was you could hear it. I'll just take a moment here for prayer. And invite Holy Spirit to lead our time together. I see some real fear, Holy Spirit, and I know that actually that's an indication that that I'm right where I ought to be. Because I am ready to look at the fear and look at my hidden thoughts and to see what I've been hiding from myself in order to clear my mind so that it can be illuminated by you. As always, so grateful. so grateful for your guidance and the opportunity to teach what I would learn. Amen. So, gosh, where to start? And I didn't when I thought, well, I missed last week because I was working last week, so I missed last week, and I thought, well, I got lots of journal to read and could just start reading my journal. I could start kind of telling you what's going on. Oh, that's sweet. The presence of Anne writes, the presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. Course in Miracles, lesson 48. Right? Well, and Anne really writes what it is that I want to talk about, because it's interesting. It was interesting to hear Regina use me as an example, the Harvard example. So I think I want to actually back up. What is that? How many years ago? I don't do math very well. It's 30 years ago. most of you guys know that my husband at that time and my son's father took his own life, committed suicide in 1986. And that was a real, well, as you might imagine, that was a real upheaval for me. But it was one of those events, I've been hearing Eckhart Tolle talk about this some, and you hear the spiritual teachers, the masters, talk about how, you know, great tragedy can really shake you to your foundation, not only just shake your foundation, but kind of just really, it pulls the rug out from under you. And that was certainly my experience. I mean, I had a week, at least a week. Heck, I don't know. I say a week. I don't know how long it was. I had a very long time where, several days, all I could say was, oh my God. those were the only words that would come out of my mouth. I also had the experience you know, they talk about the wailing wall, right? About how these women would go to the wailing wall. And I had that experience as well, that there was just such an emotional force inside of me that I would have to let it out by wailing, by making noises. I don't know how relevant all this is, guys, but but the point is, at that time, and you all may have heard me talk with Suze Wicks about this. Her husband also committed suicide around the same time, actually. But what that seemed to do was to kind of wipe the slate clean. And so what I did, in contrast to what Suze Wicks did, what I did was I set about to create a better self very consciously. You know, I had that that clean whiteboard, right, where I could write the story, the new story of my life on that. And it was at that time that I determined to go back to school. You know, I really threw myself into that, and, you know, law school, and the ultimate goal was Harvard Law School. But you know, as I undid, no, 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 as I remade, as I made up this, this new self, because the old one didn't work anymore, right? All of my beliefs, assumptions, all of that, it was all wiped away, one fell swoop. But as I remade myself, I did it in contrast to what had gone before. You know, I was the youngest of five girls at that time, and I felt picked on some, I think, and felt less than, nothing many of us don't feel. But this new, if as long as I was creating a new me, I was creating a me who was strong, who was independent, who was fearless, who was smart, all of the things that the old me didn't have. And I played that out, right? I went to Harvard Law School. I graduated summa cum laude, straight A's, undergraduate. I graduated cum laude from Harvard Law School. Came home, worked for a big law firm, and married a judge, became a judge, all those great things, seemingly great things. And so I played that out completely. And at the end of that road, I figured out that's not where it's at. I was very unhappy. And reached a point where I felt there was no purpose in life. I felt, I had thoughts of suicide, and it's about that time Holy Spirit came to the rescue, and that's when I met Hoffmeister's group. I think Dad was first in contact with them, but any rate, went on a 3 week long intensive and really got clear about setting myself in the right direction, about surrender, at least surrender as I knew it at that time. I don't know what I want. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what I need. Your will, Father, not mine. Which led to me, quitting the job, seemingly selling the house, although that's the one that's still around, disentangling myself at least temporarily from that house, the car, the husband, the career, all of it, and shedding it for a new endeavor. And the funny thing is note those words, a new endeavor. So even though it seemed like a sea change, it seemed like a radical departure from the way that I'd done things before. The truth is, it wasn't a radical departure from the way that I'd done things before, because I was still using that same seeking mechanism, that same getting mechanism. To achieve, right? I mean, and I went into it. I gave it everything that I had. I moved to Utah and lived in the monastery and blah blah blah. I mean, it goes on. The story goes on and on. But the point is, I was still creating a new image of Jacqueline, and not consciously. I mean, you don't go, "Oh, Jacqueline's going to be spiritual, and Jacqueline's going to be this," and excuse me, but it was still an acquiring, still operating in the only mode that I knew how. While I was willing to surrender those goals that I'd created for myself in this new version of Jacqueline, judge, blah blah blah, smart person, all that good stuff, while I was willing to surrender the goal, I wasn't willing to surrender, or didn't even know I Could. I wasn't willing to surrender the I that would, the hero of the journey that would move through this next journey, right? And so you, when you all have heard me talk over the past few weeks in the various forums that I'm allowed to do so here, you have witnessed along with me this era coming to an end as well. This because I'm beginning to realize that that old mole mode or mold is it's directed by the wrong teacher. And I've printed out this affirmation. I don't know the day. Regina gave it to us last week. It's a thought of awakening, and it's taped up here over my desk, and I'm going to read it. I know nothing, and so I cannot lead. I can only follow. The choice I have is clear. I can follow the one that thinks it knows but does not, or I can follow the one that knows and loves all things. This is the choice that is mine. I must choose which voice to follow. The voice I choose is the voice that I will hear. And so, while the intentions were good, quote unquote good, I was still at the very least in split mind, right? So inspiration would come and you go, oh, well, there's the goal. Okay, there, I mean, whatever it is, whatever stage it is, okay, I'm going to move to Utah. I'm going to get involved in this spiritual stuff. I'm going to, but with the split voice, it's still an achievement. It's still it's just not total surrender. It's just not, it's still trading in my vision of the person that I think I am for a vision of another person, right? It's the merging that Regina was talking about, has not yet occurred. It's not a move towards selflessness. And so, this is why Floyd Henderson talks about how most of us get stuck at this stage three, this religious or spiritual persona. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's a much happier, much, much more peaceful place, frankly, than the non-spiritual person was. And I guess even if you look at it through these higher vibrational choices, they seem to go in cycles. But the barefoot pregnant Jacqueline, poor, poor, pitiful little Jacqueline, traded up for the smart, professional, capable Jacqueline, and then that Jacqueline traded up. I mean, it sounds like I'm deriding it, and I really don't mean to, because the process has been what it has been. I've been where I've been. But all of those tools that I developed when I recreated myself are now the tools that have to be let go. The self-reliance, the thinking I know, the grab the bull by the horns thing, I see it around here. I see it in my relationship with my husband. I see that, that I just I identify the problem. I develop a solution, And then look out, Mama, because here I come, and I'm going to get from where I am now to what I envision the solution as. And you know, that's that, again, I talked about this on Sunday, talked about it a couple times, I think, but that's that white knuckling thing, right? Jacqueline identifies the problem. Jacqueline identifies the solution. And again, come hell or high water, you know, look out, you know, everything's a means to an end, as Eckhart Tolle was talking to us about in the Power of Now reading I did on Sunday. That's that mode. That's that I with an agenda. I mean, even though the agenda might be, you know, commendable or or better than the last one, or, you know, to live in that agenda mode really requires that. Well, it's like Connie was saying last night in our NTI teaching. It's like living like the addict, right? You know, there's never anybody present here. If I'm living from point A, with my eyes focused on you know, point A where I seem to be now, with my eyes focused on point B, or B, where I seem to be going, you know, you just miss the now moments. You miss life. As we talked about on Sunday, you miss the gifts of the present moment. You miss the cues. You miss the opportunities to step out through the slits in the script. You know, where am I focusing? Who am I following? What voice am I following? If I'm following that voice that says, "Oh, I know how to get there. Follow my map." I miss the opportunity for to really see those thoughts of the higher vibration, right? That can, you know, sure, maybe my way will get me there. But, you know, what am I missing along the way, right? And where am I missing, you know, gosh, that's what, I don't know if I still have it. That's what Michael Singer was talking about. I'm looking at my files here. From the Sunday gathering, I don't see it. It's probably just as well. Oh, there it is. Michael Singer said, "We can determine how we want something to be and apply the power of our minds, hearts, and bodies in an attempt to make the outside world conform." I got very, very good at that. But as Michael Singer points out, but this puts us in a constant battle of our way versus the way it would be without our intervention. I mean, we don't even know what that might begin to look like. Because I'm so focused on making, on gaining that goal that I've set in the future, right? Whatever the goal is, short term or long term, it doesn't matter. If that's where my focus is, it's not here, it's not now. And I have no idea what it would look like without my intervention. As he notes, this battle between individual will and the reality of life unfolding around us ends up consuming our lives. And hadn't it, though? I mean, here we are 30 years later, right? And, you know, Do I have a better experience now than I had 30 years ago? Yeah, most definitely. You know, have I made lots of higher vibrational choices? Yeah, no question. But now it's time for a sea change again, right? Now it's time to go, okay, all right. Who am I going to follow? It's time to let go of reliance on what I've always relied on. It's time to quit bulldozing my way through life. It's time to quit allowing my life to be consumed. By pitting myself against whatever seems to be in my way. It's time to quit using my moments as a means to an end. Wait, and I think it's funny that I think that Blackbird song is right on time. You're only waiting for this moment to be free to arrive. Whatever it says, same thing. Oh, shoot. Kathy. Kathy says she had her lighter lit, swaying back and forth. Oh, shoot. So let's see. There's a couple of there, so I am going to read you a couple of my journals. This is the one that's jumping out right now, and oh, it's funny because it's my journaling on what I just read to you. I know nothing, so let's start there again. I know nothing, and so I cannot lead. I can only follow. The choice I have is clear. I can follow the one that thinks it knows but does not, or I can follow the one that knows and loves all things. This is the choice that is mine. I must choose which voice to follow. The voice I choose is the voice that I will hear. And I wrote, the voice of love is the guide to the truth of your being. It is the voice you hear when you ask me for guidance. You are able to hear this voice when you are willing to do so. You are not able to hear when you decide you already know. And I asked, does this quote speak to my journaling? I'm just wondering whether this is the place to pause and say, so we'll come back to this. So here's what here's what I want to say before I read that. You know, Ann and I were talking this morning about how ego always comes in and wants to claim things. Oh, look at how great you did that, right? Oh, look how wonderful that insight was. And I was saying that last night when Regina was talking in general healing about, you know, this fundamentalism where you go, oh, this is my truth. And, you know, an ego claims what you've learned. You know, this phenomenon goes very deep because ego wants to claim everything that I do. When the truth of the matter is, the insight that comes through when I teach or when I journal, or, you know, in conversation with Anne or whatever the case may be, any insight that comes through is because ego has gotten out of the way for a few minutes. Jacqueline has gotten out of the way for a few minutes, right? And so insight can come through. But the reason that I bring this up is because I notice that now that I'm using my journaling in part to speak to you guys at this hour on Wednesdays. Ego wants to evaluate it. How's this sound? Ooh, we said that didn't we? And so I just want to expose that. Don't know why I want to expose it. I just do. So I think that there's clarity in my journaling, and I think there's lack of clarity. You know, as Regina always says, the writing's only as clear as the scribe, right? And sometimes I'm not real clear because ego wants to take over even that. My time with inner wisdom, my time with Holy Spirit. So I think that the one who asked, "Oh, does this have to do with my journaling?" is ego. But so anyway, I asked the question. Here's the answer. Does this quote speak to my journaling? Journaling is one way in which you hear my voice. It seems clearer to you only because you take the time away from the other voice and because the medium allows you to go back and reflect on what you have heard. However, it is not necessary to put pen to paper in order to hear. When you pause to ask me, the voice of love always speaks. As I have said, your choice is whether to listen to me or to the voice you have consistently identified as your own. That identification is merely one of habit. So while you think you recognize that voice as you, real recognition of your voice is a resonance in your heart with the voice that originates there. When you feel this resonance, you can be sure you are listening to the voice of love. And I asked, how is the knowledge of this voice different from what I think of as knowledge? That which you call knowledge is conjecture, a formula you have derived from what you think you are, as well as what you think you have experienced. And it's interesting, I watched that movie, I watched the movie the other night, Hidden Figures. It's about the African American women who are behind the launch of the original, whatever it was, John Glenn's space flight, right? And they were mathematicians. So it's funny that this, and I thought about this last night when Andy shared about whatever his engineering example was. I thought it was interesting that this analogy was used. Again, how is the knowledge of this voice different from what I think of as knowledge? That which you call knowledge is conjecture, a formula you have derived from what you think you are, as well as what you think you have experienced. As with all equations, the figures within the equation must be true in order for the product of the equation to be true. You can surely see how the false components of your knowledge equation will not yield a true result or actual knowledge. Indeed, you can see that the result of your calculations is wrong more often than right. Be willing to have your calculations done for you. I will supply true answers, unclouded by your miscalculations and misinformation. Bring your questions to me, along with your trust and your willingness to reach the true result, and you will hear only that which you need to hear. Blessings. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a concise way of saying what I started this hour with. You know, I'm still running on that same, I'm still applying that formula, you know. In order to arrive at C, you know, you have to add A and B. Jacqueline has to, you know, take whatever steps. Are necessary to arrive there. And it's not true. And it's not true because my starting point is wrong. You know, it's like Regina talks about, if you ask me how to get to Pueblo and you give me a map from California, I'm not going to be able to get there from Louisville, right? That's the starting point is wrong. Who I think I am and what I think the world is and how I think the world works, those are going to be the numbers that I plug into my equation. And if I plug those numbers in, I'm going to get the wrong answer. That is not going to get me to truth. Those calculations are going to ensure the continuation of the individual self. They're not going to show the way out, because the assumption of the individual self is a necessary component in those equations. So they're not going to show me how to get to know self. Somebody's asking, what's this room for? This room is for this room is for hopefully the discovery of the truth. Awakening. Very good. Thank you, Regina. This room is for awakening. So today, I ask for more help. I want more help. Here's what I wrote for today. I'll start with a thought of awareness for today. Holiness is what you are. Unholiness is what you believe. What you are cannot be undone because it is truth. What you believe must be undone. Must be undone because it is not truth. Give your willingness that untruth be undone from the mind. And I wrote, wholeness is what I am. Okay, and I'm going to stop and go back to this idea of, the self. And I'm hesitant to call it ego, because ego makes it seem like it's somehow separate from the part and parcel of what I normally operate with. That sounds so funny. Let me see if I can just let me sit with that for a minute. It's my mode of operation when I'm not in my right mind. It's my mode of operation when I'm not fully surrendered. That's what ego is. So to call it ego, like ego comes in, and it's like there was a conversation at one time in the Course of Miracles community that said, there are two voices, and then there's the decider. I think decider was a Bush term, but then there's the one that chooses between the two voices, and that's just not true. It's just not true. I don't know where you come down on that, where you came down on it, if you heard the conversation when it was going on, but that's just not true. You're either in your right mind or your wrong mind. Sorry, I sometimes I get a little lost in my in my thinking. I know what I want to say. So what I want to say was, I think that when I journal, I think that there is sometimes, particularly if I'm thinking, gosh, I'm going to read this to people later, there's some fear in the mind. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to block my hearing, right? What voice is that I'm listening to? But there's some fear in the mind, and so I kind of force it, right? And then as I listened last night in gentle healing, I listened to the sharing of others and was really, really, really struck how at first of all at the beauty and the wisdom in the sharing. And I heard in at least a couple, maybe several of the sharings, I heard the transition from the thinking mind to the voice of love, to the whole voice, right? The voice of truth. You could hear that gentle shift, and I could see in the writing the willingness of those who were sharing to allow that to take its natural course. And so I could see how still this image of Jacqueline is a spiritual teacher. Jacqueline is a spiritual student with some amount of knowledge, right? I could see how that sometimes infuses my journaling. And so, anyway, so today it felt like, it was a little bit easier. I was a little bit easier on me. And allowed this to take somewhat more of a natural course. I don't know if that's true, but that was the goal. I'm laughing because I just saw Kathy, Jacqua Ego. Yeah, that's me. That's the unholiness, right? All right, so here's what I wrote. Wholeness is what I am. When I feel unwhole, less than, or in need of something I seem not to have, I am listening to the thinking mind. When I listen to the thinking mind, it continues to teach me I am what I am not. When I listen to the thinking mind, it continues to teach me I am what I am not. What is it? It's teaching me that I do have to, oh my God, I do have to get in there and control things, because if I don't, who will? Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me, because that's what I was saying here 2 weeks ago, right? Oh my God. Right? If there's no intelligence in the universe besides mine, I know it sounds crazy, but that's where I was. It's that whole trust thing. What do I rely on? Oh my God. So when I listen to the thinking mind, it continues to tell me that I am vulnerable. I am limited. I am lacking. I have to force things, because if I don't force things, I'm lost. Okay. And then I wrote, wholeness and thoughts of wholeness are the higher vibrational choice that lead you to the remembrance of your true nature. These thoughts are always in the mind and available for you to choose. As you learn to choose them more consistently, they will become more apparent. This is discernment. This is purification. I asked, what would you have me see in this process or about myself that I am not seeing? And I wrote, there remains in the mind those thoughts you are not yet willing to uncover. Ask me whenever you feel discomfort to help you see what belief is causing your discomfort. You believe that only a major upset requires, deserves this type of scrutiny. As I have told you, there are no minor upsets. They all hide from you what you would not see. Ask me to show you what you are still hiding from yourself. We will look at these hidden beliefs and undo them together. Remember, there is nothing to fear. I am with you always. Blessings to you. So, you know, so I am, I'm just, so here I am. I am ready, willing, and able to look at what I have been unwilling to look at heretofore. You know, I'm really willing to give up the struggle that Michael Singer spoke about. And, you know, and frankly, a lot of what's been going on around here has felt like quite the struggle. You know, I mean, things seem to be moving in the right direction. But it hasn't been easy. You all have been here, you've heard me. It hasn't been easy, because, and so much of it has felt forced. And I have heard myself say, I really have heard myself say over the past, I don't know, several weeks, heard myself apologize to those around me for my obsessive compulsiveness. So it's up. It's just up to be looked at. That's been my modus operandi, and I think that that's being undone. I think that that's yeah, I don't know anything. Yeah, I know nothing, and so I cannot lead. I can only follow. So, you know, I guess I'm ready. I'm willing to sit here, I guess, in radio silence, where I, you know, I'm willing to be seen the fool. I'm willing to be seen as not knowing anything. You know, I woke up this morning. Regina will love this. I woke up this morning, and the thought, it's so funny, because when I wake up in the morning, so, along with the song Holy Spirit gives me, I hear the other voice, and it's a very negative voice. You know, this is what's wrong, and this needs to be fixed, and oh my God, you got to do this, and da, 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 da. I mean, that's the way it goes sometimes. This morning when I woke up, the voice said, I don't want to move to Colorado. Why would I want to move to Colorado? I don't want to do what Regina does. Regina's retiring. I should be retiring. I'm the same age as Regina. So it's funny because you see, I don't know what I want. I mean, it's just like the Course says, I don't know what's in my own best interest. One day I will move the heavens and the earth to get to Colorado. And the next day I'm going, I don't want to go to Colorado. I'm going to Colorado, by the way. But it's just funny. I mean, that voice. Yeah, I got a house there. Somebody got to live in it. And Regina has already told me she is not mowing that lawn. I'm clear. And you know, I do want to say something else here about, you know, me having an idea about how things ought to unfold. I'm selling this house here on short sale. I never dreamed that would be the way this would go, but I think it's going to be great. I've been wanting to fix the few things around the condo that need to be fixed so we can go on and get it on the market because I've got a timeline, right? And so I waited on Tom to do it and waited on Tom to do it, and he wasn't feeling well and it wasn't getting done. And so I started making it happen, you know, called my son. My son came over. My son started working. Then Tom joined in, and, you know, so we've all been working. And then Tom tells me he works seasonally in New York, and he's headed out early this year, maybe the first week of April. And I'm like, whoa. because it didn't fit with my timeline. And we had a tiny little spat about that, about how I make these plans and then I just tell him how he fits into them, right? Because I said, well, I'm going to have this sold by the end of April, right? And then Tom picked up the phone yesterday and called the handyman who's going to be here on Monday. And so all these little, and they're nitpicky things, you know, a piece of trim here and a, you know, whatever, just tiny little things that need to be done. There's a number of them. He called the handyman. Handyman will be here on Monday. These things will be fixed in a week. I mean, that's much better than my plan. but I didn't want to hear it because it wasn't my plan. So really that point of view that I do know what's best for me, that I do know what the plan is, that I do, you know, the whole having an agenda makes me miss the field. You remember we watched Bagger Vance and that's what Randolph Juno was doing, you know. He was trying to force that whole thing, and his caddy, Bagger Vance, said, no, watch Bobby Jones play golf. When Bobby Jones plays golf, he settles into the naturalness of the way things are, you know. He swings his club until he feels the naturalness of that swing. When he looks out there, he doesn't see that flag at the end of the fairway is some dragon he's got to slay. He sees the field. He sees the turning of the earth and the, you know, and he sees how all of this comes together, and he settles into his place in the field. And if I'm seeing that flag is a dragon I have to slay, if I'm seeing this condo as a dragon I have to slay, I cannot see the field. And that's the same thing that this says. If I must choose my choice. I must choose which voice to follow. The voice I choose is the voice that I will hear. So, you know, if I'm so intent on my way, that's all I can hear. I can't see the voice of nature, the voice of the natural move. I can't hear the voice of the natural movement of life. So, I'm surrendering to the field. I'm giving up the old formula. Which was to go out and slay that dragon and surrendering to the field. The voice of nature, Regina writes, and Kathy wrote, not a field of dreams. No, the field of nature, the universe, the way things are. And Dove writes, let miracles replace all grievances. That's it. That's it exactly. So anyhow, my time's up. And so I'm going to go. I'm going to thank you for being here with me. I love you all dearly. I'm very, very grateful to you all. Letting go of the mic.